Hey everyone, welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Ever feel like you're stuck in a town where like everyone knows your name, but nobody really sees you?
Oh, yeah.
That's the kind of unsettling world we're diving into today.
Okay.
A legal thriller mystery that'll make you question how well you know your neighbors.
Interesting.
We're talking Justice Bites.
Okay.
This story will keep you guessing till the very last page, so make sure you hit that like button and subscribe so you don't miss a single twist.
Right.
You can find a link to the book on Amazon in the description below.
Sounds good.
So what's really captivating about this genre
Well,
is the way it peels back that facade of everyday life,
yeah.
exposes the raw, sometimes ugly truths beneath.
It really does. And that's what's so interesting about it. We're going to unravel those secrets together.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Okay.
The book introduces us to Marco, a defense attorney, struggling with addiction, disillusioned with the legal system.
Yeah.
He represents
Right.
that cynicism
Yeah.
and sharp wit. Make him a compelling character,
Absolutely.
someone who you wouldn't necessarily trust right away,
Right.
but you can't help but root for.
I agree.
He's assigned a new client, Nate,
Okay.
a young man facing drug charges. But there's a wrinkle.
Oh.
Nate's Aunt Allie insists on being part of the equation.
Okay.
She's fresh out of prison, and Marco just happens to be the lawyer who put her there.
Wow. So that sets up a fascinating dynamic right from the start.
Exactly.
They've both been shaped by their experiences within the legal system, but from opposite sides.
Yeah.
It forces us to consider, how much does our past dictate who we become, and can we ever truly break free from those experiences?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And as if things weren't already complicated enough,
Right.
Nate's case leads them to the doorstep of the Prices.
Yeah.
Seemingly perfect family who own the Yellow Lark, the most popular restaurant in town.
This is where the book really starts to play with our perceptions.
Yeah.
On the surface, the Prices embody small town success.
Right.
But as the story unfolds, we start to see cracks in that picture perfect image.
It makes you wonder,
It really does.
how many seemingly perfect lives are hiding dark secrets, and how can we learn to spot those red flags?
That's such a good question.
And the tension ramps up when Jackson, an employee at the Yellow Lark and the brother of Whitney Moore,
Right.
tragically takes his own life.
Oh, wow.
Whitney is convinced that there's something sinister going on at the restaurant,
Yeah.
but her concerns are dismissed by everyone around her.
This is where the power dynamics of a small town come into play.
Exactly.
Whose voices are heard and whose are silenced. Whitney's grief is compounded by the feeling that no one believes her,
Right.
and it highlights how easily individuals can be marginalized, especially when they're going up against those with influence and power.
And despite Marco's initial reluctance, Allie proves to be a surprisingly valuable asset to the case.
How so?
She's got street smarts and an uncanny ability to read people, skills honed from her time behind bars. Think about it.
Yeah.
Allie's experiences, which society might view as a negative,
Right.
actually become her strength in this situation.
Yeah.
It challenges us to reconsider our preconceived notions about people who've been incarcerated.
Absolutely. Allie's perspective is invaluable.
Right.
She sees things that Marco, with his traditional legal background, might overlook.
Yeah.
She brings a different kind of knowledge to the table,
Right.
highlighting the importance of diverse perspectives in any investigation.
The story really kicks into high gear during the preliminary hearing.
Okay.
For Whitney Moore, a well-respected high school teacher accused of soliciting a student to murder her husband,
Oh, wow.
the prosecution presents what seems like an airtight case, including a recording of Whitney allegedly asking the student to commit the crime.
And this is where the legal aspects of the story become really intriguing.
Yeah.
The preliminary hearing is meant to determine if there's enough evidence for the case to go to trial.
Right.
But as we see in Justice Bites, evidence can be manipulated and the truth can be twisted to fit a particular narrative.
And that's precisely what happens here.
What do you mean?
Allie, with her sharp instincts, discovers that the recording is fake.
Oh, wow.
It throws the entire case into question,
Yeah.
raises some serious doubts about the student's credibility.
Right.
I mean, think about it. If someone is willing to lie about something this serious, what else are they capable of?
That's the question that drives the rest of the investigation.
Exactly.
It flips the script and compels us to ask, who is really pulling the strings here and what are their motivations? It's like we're suddenly seeing the entire story through a new lens.
Allie, now more determined than ever to uncover the truth, sets her sights on the Prices. particularly Adam,
okay.
the seemingly charming manager of a yellow lark.
Uh-huh.
As she digs deeper, she starts to uncover evidence of a much darker side to Adam.
Like what?
Including allegations of employee abuse and a possible connection to Jackson's suicide.
The story takes a chilling turn here as we start to see how power can be misused and how vulnerable individuals can be exploited.
Yeah.
It's a stark reminder that even in seemingly idyllic settings, darkness can lurk beneath the surface.
It really can.
Yeah. And remember, Nate Marco's client.
Yeah.
Well, he goes missing.
Oh, no.
Adding another layer of urgency to Allie's investigation.
Right.
It turns out he'd been working at the Yellow Lark, and his sudden disappearance raises a chilling question.
Makes you wonder if he stumbled upon something he shouldn't have seen, right? Like if he's become another victim of Adam's twisted games.
Exactly. The stakes are incredibly high at this point, and as Allie digs deeper, she uncovers a web of deceit that implicates not just Adam, but his entire family, including the seemingly devout mother, Nikki, and her teenage son, Luke.
Wait, so you're telling me the religious fanatic mom might actually be the mastermind behind this whole thing? Now I'm really starting to see why this book is called Justice Bites.
Yeah.
It's like the truth keeps twisting and turning, and just when you think you've got a handle on it, something else comes out of left field.
It's a brilliant example of how appearances can be deceptive.
Right.
And how even the most unassuming characters can have hidden depths, sometimes dark ones.
Yeah.
We learn that Luke's seemingly perfect family life was a carefully constructed facade.
Oh, wow.
And that Nikki had been subjecting him and his sister to horrific abuse, locking them in the basement for days as a form of punishment.
That's taking control to a whole new level. And it's heartbreaking to think about what those kids went through.
It is.
But it also makes you wonder, what would drive someone to do something like that? What kind of darkness would lead a parent to inflict that kind of pain on their own children?
It's a complex question, and the book doesn't offer easy answers, but it does force us to confront the uncomfortable reality that cycles of abuse can repeat themselves.
Yeah.
And that sometimes the people we least expect are capable of unimaginable cruelty.
It's like that saying, hurt people hurt people. It's tragic, but it's also a reminder that everyone has a story, and we never truly know what's going on behind closed doors.
Precisely. And it's important to remember that while Luke was a victim of abuse, he also made choices that had devastating consequences for others.
Right.
By falsely accusing Whitney, he set in motion a chain of events that nearly destroyed her life.
It's a reminder that even in the midst of our own pain, we still have a responsibility to act with integrity and compassion.
Absolutely.
Our choices have a ripple effect impacting the lives of those around us.
And speaking of complex characters, let's talk about Ali.
Okay.
She's not just a tough investigator.
Right.
She's also battling her own demons.
Hmm.
5 years in prison haven't erased her addiction, and we see her struggle with sobriety throughout the book.
Yeah, her vulnerability in those moments makes her even more relatable, don't you think? It's like she's constantly fighting an internal battle, trying to stay afloat while the world keeps throwing her curveballs.
Absolutely. Ali's journey is a testament to the fact that recovery is an ongoing process and that even the strongest people need support.
Yeah.
And that's where Marco surprisingly steps up.
Oh, really?
He becomes her ally, offering encouragement and helping her stay on track.
It's a fascinating dynamic, isn't it? These two characters who started out as adversaries find common ground in their shared struggles.
Mm.
It's like they recognize a kindred spirit in each other, someone who understands the darkness they've both faced.
Their relationship is one of the most compelling aspects of the book. It's not romanticized or idealized.
Right.
It's messy and real.
Yeah.
But it's also incredibly powerful because it shows that even broken people can find connection and support in unexpected places.
And their bond goes beyond just sobriety. Mm. They end up becoming business partners.
Oh, wow.
With Allie pursuing her dream of opening a food truck and Marco using his legal expertise to help her navigate the process.
It's a beautiful example of how shared adversity can lead to unexpected opportunities.
Mm.
They turn their individual strengths into a collaborative force, creating something positive and hopeful out of the ashes of their past.
And they don't stop there.
Really?
They actually combine their expertise and create a food truck law firm.
What?
Offering legal services to people who might not have access to traditional representation. It's like they're taking justice on the road, serving up a side of legal advice with every order.
It's such a creative concept.
Right.
And it speaks to their commitment to making a difference in their community. They're not just lawyers.
Yeah.
They're advocates for those who have been marginalized or forgotten.
The ending of Justice Bites is bittersweet.
How so?
Whitney, finally clear of all charges, starts a new chapter in her life.
Mm.
But the scars of what she's endured remain.
It's a reminder that justice, while essential, doesn't always erase the pain of the past, but it also highlights the importance of resilience and the power of moving forward.
And as for our dynamic duo, Marco embraces sobriety and finds fulfillment in his work with the mobile law firm, while Ali proves that second chances are possible, building a brighter future for herself, one food truck order at a time.
Their journey is a testament to the transformative power of hope, even in the face of darkness. It's a reminder that even when life throws its worst punches, we can choose to rise above our circumstances and create something meaningful.
Makes you think about your own community, right? Are there hidden stories lurking beneath the surface?
Yeah, it really does. It's like we all have these carefully crafted personas we present to the world, you know?
Yeah.
Like social masks. How much of ourselves do we reveal and how much do we keep hidden? Out of fear, maybe, or a desire to fit in. Justice Bites really forces us to confront those questions.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
Think about Whitney, the teacher who was judged and condemned based on like a totally fabricated story. It's scary. She kind of represents the danger of making assumptions, you know, rushing to judgment without knowing all the facts.
It really highlights the complexity of human nature.
Exactly. And then there's Marco, the defense attorney, the guy who's supposed to be a pillar of justice, but he's battling his own demons, his own secrets. Nobody's simply good or evil. We're all somewhere in between.
Yeah, that's so true. It's a good reminder that everyone has a story.
Right.
A set of experiences that makes them who they are. And we often only see a fraction of what's really going on, like beneath the surface.
Yeah, yeah.
The book encourages us to be more empathetic, you know,
mm-hmm.
to look beyond what we see and try to understand what motivates people. We might not always agree with their choices, but understanding their story can help us approach them with more compassion.
And less judgment.
Yeah. Exactly.
Speaking of challenging judgments, Ali's journey is it's really inspiring. She's a survivor. You know what I mean? She refuses to be defined by her past.
Absolutely. She's strong.
Despite constant setbacks, battling addiction, she keeps going, never gives up on herself or her dream of a better future.
That's what's so powerful about her story, I think. It shows us that redemption is possible, even after making, you know, huge mistakes, facing obstacles that seem impossible to overcome. It's a message of hope. Challenges us to consider how quick we are to write people off based on their past, you know, and how we can be more open to the possibility of transformation and growth.
We hope this deep dive into Justice Bites has given you a taste of its intricate plot, compelling characters, and some pretty thought-provoking themes. It's a story that will stay with you, prompt you to question your assumptions, appreciate how complicated human nature really is.
Yeah, maybe even inspire you to embrace second chances. For yourself and for others.
Because sometimes the most unexpected paths lead to the most profound transformations.
Well said. That brings us to the end of our deep dive. What was your favorite twist or character revelation? Share your thoughts in the comments. We'd love to hear them. And don't forget to like this video and subscribe to our channel for more deep dives into the books and ideas that matter. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep those minds open.